Here to provide more perspective on yesterday's elections is WHQR station manager Cleve Callison, talking with Cape Fear Community College professor emeritus Dr. Ralph Cornegay, currently an instructor at UNCW, about yesterday's elections. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, Cleve.
Nice to have you back at our microphones here for some election analysis. You've seen a lot of these elections around the state of North Carolina, around this area. Was there anything that really surprised you about this election?
No, I don't think it was much of a surprise. The main thing with this election was, like most local elections, is low turnout, and that's sort of expected. I don't think there were any major upsets. Everybody that lost or won, you can find a plausible reason for that loss or that win. And so it's not really much of a surprise.
You and I were talking earlier about the fact that often local races have much more impact on people's day-to-day lives than national elections or even federal elections or Congress or whatever. So why do we have such low voter turnout compared to years where there's a president at the top of the ticket?
I think there are probably two reasons. One is the fault of the candidate, and the other is the fault of the voter. Candidates are so busy at the local level, they think everybody knows exactly what they stand for and exactly what's going on, and they spend about half their time talking trash, to put it in a vernacular, about the other candidates. And the voters themselves don't bother to find out what's going on. They don't care.
But on the one hand, the trash talking is effective. If you can paint your opponent into a corner or accuse them of some nefarious deed or something that they've done, we know that can work.
It sounds good, but sometimes it can work negatively. If you spend all your time talking about the other guy and how bad he is and what he isn't doing, then you don't spend any time at all letting the voters know what you could do for them. And I think when you have, for example, the Wilmington City Council, when you've got 9 people running for office, everybody's talking bad. We'll pick out the one who's actually telling me he's going to do something and how. One of the candidates who was running had a lot of signs around, stop waste. Well, explain to me what that means. Stop waste how? Are you going to quit patrolling with the police around my home? Is that going to stop some of the waste? So let me look at a candidate who's giving me something.
You're talking about Fulton.
Well, yeah, that was his main thing, but never explained what.
But then he lost. He lost by a fairly considerable margin.
There you go. And so the people just don't hinge on things like that anymore. The people who actually go out and vote are the ones who really care. And the vast majority, range of 80%, just don't care. They don't see it bothering them. They don't see it affecting them. They see the president and Congress passing laws that put things on them, taxes on them, controls on them. And they don't see the city council is saying, excuse me, you're going to hand us a big chunk of your money, and we're going to spend it on roads, we're going to spend it on sewers, we're going to spend it on things like that. And they see that construction going on someplace else in town. Well, that's not affecting me. So they really don't care about local elections.
We're talking about the role of citizen involvement. One of the things, of course, that happened last year in the elections was the fired-up nature of the Tea Party that turned out for a lot of congressional elections and things like that. Do you see really any role of the Tea Party movement affecting these local elections?
Not really. I think it's one of those things that the Tea Party gets a lot more credit than they deserve. When they're concentrating on an individual congressional district, that's one thing, and it's easy to swing one of those. The problem is when you try to expand that to a larger audience, that becomes difficult. And when you bring it down to a smaller audience, like a municipality, a county, that's even more difficult because there the people are close enough that they recognize a lot of times the people who would vote recognize that it's just rhetoric. Mm-hmm. So, no.
And does the fact that a lot of these elections that we're seeing are officially nonpartisan, I mean, sometimes you know which party somebody is affiliated with and sometimes you don't, but Does that make it level the playing field a little bit not to have party labels when you go into the voting booth?
Well, you know, they must think it does, because if you go back, starting about 20 years ago, you stopped seeing party affiliation on street signs and other things. You go out, you know, John Smith for city council, what party? Jacob Johnson for county commissioner, what party? Even at presidential levels, when you see, for example, McCain Palin for president, paid for by McCain Palin, not the Republican Party. So about 20 years ago, we stopped identifying ourselves. The main reason for that is that 80% of the American public fall in the middle range. They're not extreme right or extreme left. They're in the moderate range. and candidates have to appeal to that center or they will not get elected. You cannot appeal just to the Republican side or just to the Democratic side. And one of the ways you start doing that is to take off that party label. Local elections have done it to the extreme. Nobody identifies himself anymore.
Mm-hmm. What about the advantage of incumbency? Is that important in local elections? If you're already in office, are you this year more likely to be turned out, or are you more likely just to coast into another term?
Well, you know, there it can go either way. You've got somebody like Laura Padgett, for example, who's been on the council forever.
That's the Wilmington City Council.
Wilmington City Council. Yeah. You've got Ron Sparks, who was on there for the first shot, and bang, he's gone. So it can go either way. The tendency is probably let's you know, the devil we know as opposed to the devil we might know. And the tendency would be to keep the ones in there unless they've done something.
Now, we heard in a report a little while ago from Michelle Bliss talking about the elections and a couple of ones, and you mentioned Ronald Sparks. He's involved with a lawsuit currently, and in races in Carolina Beach and in Oak Island, there was state investigations involved with some of the candidates running. Can that be a tipping point in some of these races also?
There you go. Carolina Beach, they would not take the two candidates who were having problems with anonymous mails and et cetera, and they put Rothrock back in after 8 years. Ron Sparks is removed, probably because of the incident. Oak Island Mayor, who's right at the heart of it, she's reelected by a resounding amount. So it can go either way, and it depends on how they play it. The mayor in Oak Island played it from the standpoint of, look, we're trying to give you a service that you need, you want. Give us time to look at it. I'm going to look hard at it and make sure we're doing it right, and we'll let you know what's going on. So the people vote for. The rest of them sort of sidetrack it and let it go.
We heard a little bit of a clip from her where she's sort of taking the voters to task for not being informed, saying you shouldn't have been surprised by the cost of this infrastructure, the sewer improvement, because we've been talking about it in city council where you're not paying attention.
And sometimes you need to take the voters to the woodshed. Sometimes you need to let them know it's part of their fault. As an elected official, I'm not going to go out and take each voter by the ear and make them hear what's going on. I'm going to provide public hearings. I'm going to put the information out there. And you have a responsibility to go look at it, find it out, and make up your own mind where we are. And unfortunately, it's like we want to be spoon-fed, as we are with everything else. We don't want to work for the information. We want somebody to open our head and pour it in. And that's a problem both ways.
But I just wonder, going back to what you're saying about the low turnout, wouldn't part of that be a factor of just people are not subjected to the real bombardment of images and ads and things that happen in a presidential year because of the incredible amounts of money that get poured into those races versus modest amounts of money in these local races?
Compared to the importance of the race, the amount of money poured into local elections isn't that insignificant. We put a lot of money in it, considering what's actually involved. And I don't know that that's it. My goodness, I'm so glad to see elections over because I can drive down the road without 50 million signs for John Q. Dingleberry, who's running for city council.
Well, I know, but you don't see all these ads. I mean, last year in congressional races, they're just ad after ad after ad. You couldn't watch television without being bombarded with it.
But see, you've stepped it up a level now. When you get to congressional races where we've got millions of dollars to spend, we're going to spend them.
Let's talk about margin of victory. We had quite a contrast in the Wilmington City Council race and the mayor's race. The mayor won by over 40 percentage points. I guess one question might be, why such a big margin of victory? And also, then the follow-up to that would be, will this help Bill Saffo be mayor with such a large margin of victory?
Well, you know, you're looking at a race where you had two candidates, basically. One, everybody knew. He'd been in there before. He was very clear that he wanted to continue moving Wilmington forward. He talked about the things that they had tried to do. He wasn't covering up things they had tried and failed with the hotel at the convention center, for example. The man on the other side instead was talking more about the kinds of things in very general terms. Well, I'd like to make things safer downtown. Well, it's pretty well perceived. Downtown's pretty safe. I don't think Bob worries about it when he comes in at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. He's going to be charged. Some criminal is going to attack him down here. And so people look at those kind of things and sort of say, okay, Why change? Let's all just vote for who we've got.
And then the other side of the coin of that would be the Wilmington City Council elections, where you had 9 people running for 3 seats. The way the winner was determined, it was simply who got the largest number of votes, which means that no single candidate got a majority of votes.
Well, now that's not unusual in a race like that. The more candidates you have, the less likely you are going to have a majority, and you wind up going with a plurality. But that's not unusual.
And I guess the alternative to that, if you wanted to make sure that there was a majority, would be a runoff, but then you'd have probably much less of a voter turnout than the 20% or so that we saw yesterday.
Which is one of the reasons they changed the law to allow us to have a plurality to make that decision. When you've got an election like this with that many people running, someone in the news just ahead of us made the comment that when you have a whole lot of people running, that indicates great interest in change. Well, that only works if you have people come out and vote. And when you have 9 people running for city council seats and 17%, in other words, 83 out of 100 voters didn't even bother going to the polls, that says to me that 83% either had no idea what was going on or was satisfied and felt like the incumbents, the people that had been there, were still going to win. And when you look at the final totals, you're running with people that, well, for example, Ricky Meeks, what, 1,200 votes?
Something like that, yeah.
And so that's really not very close. You really had 4 candidates who were close. The other 5 were just there.
I guess, though, you were talking about the relatively small percentage of people that go out. That doesn't stop the 83% from complaining about the results if something happens in the next couple of years.
Cleve, one of my former business partners, called in after our last appearance, and she and I were talking about the fact that we have said for years, she and I both, have said for years, if you don't vote, shut up. You haven't earned the right to complain. If you didn't help make the decision on who goes in and who runs the government, then you can't complain about the ones that are there. And that means even if you voted for someone who lost, you still have a right to complain because you voted. People don't understand that. People have a responsibility. Voting is a privilege, but it's also a responsibility. If you don't get out and vote, you're not part of the solution.
Now, we do see higher turnouts in years of presidential elections or hotly contested congressional elections. Would it make sense to move these municipal elections? Would it increase turnout? Would it save money? Does it make sense to move them to coincide with either congressional or presidential election?
From a standpoint of turnout, probably. To actually solve anything, no. You'd wind up with a much stronger coattail effect. People will vote for a candidate because he happens to be on the same side as the presidential candidate.
Or just pull the lever and vote for everybody in that particular party.
There you go. Let's pull a straight ticket. No, I don't think it'll change anything. In fact, I think it evolves back to a problem of the candidates, and the voters need to make the effort to participate. They need to get out and work. Elections are not someplace where they open your head and spoon feed you all the information you need. You have to work for it. Who said it? Democracy is not easy. You have to work to keep it. And we're not working very hard right now.
Yeah, Churchill said it's the worst form of government except for all the others.
There you go. Good old Churchill.
Let's talk about the fact that we had no referendums on the ballot this time. Do those tend to cause people to turn out if there's a statewide issue that people are concerned about? Does that help with that?
If there's a statewide or if there's a local referendum that means something. You saw a referendum on the ballot in Castlehaine.
Yeah, I want to talk about that.
It didn't turn out very many people, not considering the number of people who could have voted versus the ones who did. So sometimes it can, but it's got to impact you directly.
Now, that particular one, you could look on it as a response to people saying, or the impetus behind that, though, is let's incorporate, let's make ourselves a city in order to make progress. But wasn't it also partly a defensive measure against the fear of annexation from Wilmington?
And the people who were in favor of the consolidation or of the incorporation kept pounding that in, even after they were told repeatedly, the city of Wilmington does not have an interest in annexing Castlehaine. We can't. We don't have the money or the time. And the state laws have changed in such a way that we couldn't annex you if we wanted to. That still did not stop the people on the pro-incorporation side from pushing it. Oh, New Hanover's going to gobble you. Wilmington's going to gobble you. You're all going to be. And that was so far from it. That's another example. The people, in this particular case, the ones who voted, may have gone out and heard what actually was going to happen and said, hey, it doesn't affect us. Why should we add taxes to ourselves just to prevent something that can't happen anyway?
Yeah. So maybe not much of an issue. Mm. We all know that we haven't come out of the economic doldrums that we've been in, maybe not in crisis mode, but we're certainly not, you know, achieving liftoff the way people would hope. So we have those problems ahead. State government cutbacks are inevitably going to trickle down and affect local governments. Aren't there going to be serious problems ahead for any incumbent in any local race or governmental entity?
Yes. Because the only trickle-down effect that works is the one where the federal government says, we can't fund it anymore, so states do it. And the states say, we can't fund it anymore, so cities and counties do it. That's the only trickle-down that really works. And the problem is, it doesn't relieve the problems. Remember I said at the very beginning, local elections are the only ones that directly impact citizens. The others are sort of out there somewhere, and what they do can impact you next year or 10 years down the road. City elections and what the city and county people do affects you today, tomorrow, the next day, not months, years down the road. And we need to get that across to them. And yes, the economic conditions of this country haven't even begun to hit the local communities yet, not the way they're going to.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of controversy still ahead. Did you vote?
I've voted every election since I turned 21 back in 1961. So, yes, sir.
Good for you.
I don't miss.
Yeah, I was proud to wear my little I voted sticker as well.
Now, see, I couldn't vote yesterday because I live in the county. But if I'd lived in the city, you better believe I'd have been one of the first people there voting. I vote because I like to complain.
Okay. Well, whether it's a complaint or a thank you or just a question or whatever, we do appreciate Ralph for being here, and we want to thank you for listening. We want to thank Dr. Ralph Cornegay for being with us here this morning. Thanks very much, Ralph. Good to see you again. Ralph is a professor emeritus at Cape Fear Community College and an instructor at UNCW. For WHQR, I'm Cleve Callison.